Prison was not like Call expected it to be. He had grown up with the crime shows on television, so he thought he was supposed to have a gruff roommate to show him the ropes and how to get really buff from lifting weights. He was supposed to hate the food and not start anything with anybody for fear of getting shanked with a cleverly sculpted toothbrush knife. It turned out that the only thing being in magical prison had in common with television prison was that the main character was totally framed for a crime he hadn't committed. In the mornings, he was awoken when lights all over the panopticon went from dim to blindingly bright. Blinking and yawning, he watched the other prisoners. There seemed to be around 50, as they were let out of their cells. They shuffled off, probably to breakfast. But Call's tray was delivered right to his door by two guards, one of whom scowled. The other looked intimidated. Call, who had grown bored over the last 6 months, made a face just to see the freaked-out guard get more freaked out. None of them saw him as a 15-year-old, as a kid. They all thought of him as the enemy of death. In all the time he'd been here, not a single person had come to visit him, not his father, not his friends. Call tried to tell himself that they weren't allowed, but that wasn't comforting either. They were probably in a lot of trouble. They probably wished they'd never even heard of Colum Hunt. He finished eating some of the slop on the tray and then brushed his teeth to get the taste out of his mouth. The guards returned. It was time for interrogation. Every day he was taken to a windowless, white-walled room where three assembly members grilled him about his life. It was the only interruption in the monotony of his day. What was your first memory? When did you realize you were evil? I know you say that you can't remember anything about being Constantine Madden, but what if you try harder? How many times did you meet Master Joseph? What did he say to you? Where is his stronghold? What are his plans? Whatever his answer, they would go over the minutiae until Call himself got confused. They accused him of lying a lot. Sometimes when he got tired and bored, he was tempted to lie because what they wanted to hear was so obvious and it seemed like it might be easier to tell them. But he didn't lie, because his evil overlord list was back in effect, and he was assigning himself points for anything he did that seemed evil overlordish. Lying definitely counted. It was easy to rack up evil overlord points in prison. His interrogators talked a lot about the devastating charm of the enemy of death, and how Call shouldn't be allowed to talk to any of the other prisoners for fear of seducing them over to his evil schemes. Call might have found this flattering if it wasn't so clear that they thought he was deliberately hiding this aspect of his character from them. If Constantine Madden had possessed devastating charisma, they felt Call was showing the exact opposite. They didn't look forward to seeing him, and he didn't look forward to seeing them either. That day, though, Call was in for a surprise. When he walked in to be interrogated, it wasn't his usual interrogator sitting there. Instead, on the other side of the white desk, he found his former teacher, Master Rufus, dressed in black, his bald brown head shining under the two bright lights. Call hadn't seen anyone he knew in so long. He had an urge to leap across the table and hug Master Rufus, despite the fact that Master Rufus was glowering at him and wasn't a huge hugger in general. Call sat down in the chair opposite his teacher. He couldn't even wave or offer to shake Master Rufus's hand, since his wrists were bound in front of him with a glowing chain of incredibly hard metal. He cleared his throat. "How's Tamara?" he said. "Is she all right?" Master Rufus looked at him for a long time. I'm not sure I should tell you, he said finally. I am not sure who you are, Cole.